It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? And we have a quick turnaround as the San Jose Sharks, just after taking on the St. Louis Blues last night and winning in one of the most epic games of the year, the hat trick from William Eklund, the first ever NHL win for hometown hero Devin Cooley, a 3-2 feel-good win at the tank. Now they got to turn it right back around and take on the Arizona Coyotes. So yeah, it's quick for the Sharks. There is no rest. It is game 77 of the season. I cannot believe I am saying that. And that's the thing. It's like, I know people have said, like, come on, Ted, like, You always talk about how you're sad at the end of the year. This has been a tough year. It has been a tough year, 100%. But when you have the moments like you do last night, you could say, hey, if that win had suddenly thrust them into the playoffs, you'd go for another 2 months easy. We all know how much fun this is. We all know the Stanley Cup playoffs, what those are like. And last night, it felt a little bit like what it might be like when you do see William Eklund performing in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the future that I hope is not too far off, because, man, it fills you with hope. It fills you with a lot of desire to see the Sharks back in that position again. And, you know, those feel-good moments, they've been few and far between. But when they happen, they're great. And they used to happen very often for the Sharks. They used to have comeback victories. They used to have record-breaking performances. There was all sorts of stuff that happened seemingly every day. And you do get spoiled. You get accustomed to it. You get used to it. But as I said on Morning Tide earlier today, the one thing that I really was reminded of, or just sparked in my mind, was the idea that that performance from William Eklund was something that we would have seen from a Jumbo, from a Pavs, from a Marlowe, from a Hurdle, from a Timo. Like those singular moments of brilliance where a team looks to one player to put them on his back. And I'm not saying this isn't a team win or anything like that, because obviously Devin Cooley was phenomenal. The Sharks' penalty kill came up big throughout the game. But in that moment offensively, when William Eklund had already done so much, scoring two goals, the Sharks only two goals on the day, he went above and beyond, got the game winner in overtime, just did it on his own, flying up the left wing, got the shot off with just a smooth, snappy, quick release, got the game winner, boom, hat trick on Straw Hat Day. I mean, that's hard to believe that you could script it up any better. And it was absolutely phenomenal. It was a great moment. And I am looking forward to more great moments in the future. And I'm looking forward to today's game against Arizona, because I think it will be a good one. And to talk more about the Coyotes, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Matt McConnell, the TV play-by-play announcer for the Arizona Coyotes, who are quickly in town today after an astounding comeback against Vegas the other night. Matt, how's it going?
It's going great, Ted. Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't fun in the second period on Friday night when they fell behind 4-1, but the comeback was one for the ages. And, you know, I've been on the other side of those a few times mm-hmm. in my career, but it was a lot of fun on Friday night. And, you know, I was happy for the group to get a big W against the defending cup champions.
So you haven't been a part of a 6 goal output from one team in one period, or never a comeback of 6 goals to go from down 4-1 to, you know, 6 more goals on top of that? Cause that's pretty astounding. Like I was flipping through and keeping track of the scores, and I saw 4-1, and then I came back and saw the 7 spot, and I was like, well, that can't be accurate. Somebody must've put something in erroneously. Cause that, you know, it was 4-1. But yeah, that clearly was the way things worked out.
Yeah, no, you know, the 4-1's not a big deal. We actually came back against Colorado earlier this season down 4-1, but 6 goals in a period, mm-hmm. and I can't remember that ever happening. Now, I think I've been on the other side of that, you know, because I worked for a couple of expansion teams. I was, you know, the first radio voice of Anaheim when the Mighty Ducks opened up, and I spent some time in Atlanta, so that's very possible that it happened back in the days of the Thrash. But calling a team that has put up six goals in the third period. I can't remember that.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's an incredible output. By the way, while we bring up the Thrashers, what do you think of the talk of them trying to make NHL Atlanta happen again? Because that's one that's always surprised me that it didn't work. And, you know, you were up close and personal. You saw things a little bit differently than we did here on the other side of the country. But, you know, that market, just it seems like every sports, you know, they want to support to the full extent. I know some Falcons fans could probably say a thing or two. But are you surprised to hear that talk come up? Or do you think, no, with a market that big, of course they have to think about it?
Yeah, you know what? I think it can work there. And if you look at the history, Ted, when Cousins, the owner of the Atlanta Flames, when he moved the team to Calgary, he had to do it because the economy was down and he needed the cash for his real estate business. He was a commercial real estate guy, so he didn't have much choice. And those Flames teams were actually pretty good. The thing with the Atlanta Thrashers is I don't think they ever had real solid ownership after Turner sold them. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Spirit Group wasn't very strong. But I think it can absolutely work again there. And it sounds like they're talking about building the stadium, the arena in the Northern Arc, as they like to call it, down in Atlanta, like outside the perimeter up in the Alpharetta area. And I think it will do very, very well. It's also a huge, huge corporate headquarter town. You've got Coca-Cola, you've got Home Depot, Delta Airlines. Mm-hmm. So if they go back there and they put the arena where they've been talking about the groups want to put it, I think it'll do very, very well for the league.
Just looking big picture with Arizona right now, do you think that all the outside noise, the stadium and arena talk stuff, has that been a distraction at all? Or do you think the players are pretty good about compartmentalizing?
You know what? I think they're good about compartmentalizing on that stuff, Ted. They're hockey players. They want to win. Their focus is on, you know, being ready to go. Their focus is on ice. I don't think it's anything away from the ice. Back when they made the run to the Western Conference Final in 2012, Dave Tippett was the head coach, and back then the league was running the team because they were in bankruptcy. And Dave Tippett did a remarkable job of keeping all that noise and all of that distraction out of the locker room. And I think it's the same now. You know, certainly there's all the noise, there's the talk, you know, about putting a new facility in Scottsdale and North Scottsdale. But I think the players are, you know, they're athletes. They're focused on wins and losses, and I think they've done a really good job at that.
Yeah, personally, I know that everybody I've talked to who has gone and seen a game in Model Arena has walked away with nothing but good things to say. And, you know, I think, you know, for the experience it is right now, you kind of make the most of it. It reminds me when I was a kid growing up, you know, when the Giants were at Candlestick Park, it was a rundown older facility and they, you know, kind of embraced it as part of their own. Do you think it has been kind of adopted as the identity at this point for, you know, for better or for worse?
Well, I think, I think all of us, and especially calling games at Mullet Arena, it's been a lot of fun. You know, we're 13 rows off the ice. We're never going to be closer than that. I think, you know, there's kind of a little bit of folklore already, the mullet magic, you know, and, you know, comebacks and being good on home ice. And, you know, mullet magic had another chapter written the other night when they had the six goals in the third period and the comeback against Vegas. So, yeah, I think it's been fun. We all realize that it's a temporary solution for the ultimate goal of getting a building put together. But I also think it's been a good opportunity for the young core of the Coyotes, the Clayton Kellers, the Dylan Gunthers, Josh Stones, Logan Cooley's, you know, that whole core that's going to lead this team in the future. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a real good backdrop for all of them to come together and try to move this team forward.
How far off do you think this team is? Because like some of the names you just mentioned, especially Keller, who's been very hot as of late, like I look at this team and I think there's a lot of talent here. What more is needed for them to take the next step?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. We were just talking about this the other day, my partner Tyson Nash and I think in the past Ted, you had a high-end prospect here and a high-end prospect over here, but now I think what you have is you have a grouping of prospects that are now all up playing games in the NHL. And I mentioned Keller and Gunther and Cooley and a guy like Matthias Michelli, a Josh Doan. These are the players. There's now I called them a gaggle. of players, that young players that are going to try to move it forward. So I think up front they're pretty good, and you know, even on their back end they've got a young player such as JJ Moser, another one Sean Durzi and Michael Kesselring. Those guys I think are guys that you can build around. I think the next step here is maybe a little more, maybe a veteran or two that can lead them into the pile, maybe a horse or two on the back end. But I think they're a lot further along than, say, they were just 2 years ago, right? A couple of years ago, they didn't have a lot of draft picks. They didn't have as many prospects. So they're heading in the right direction. It's just a matter of adding to the group that they have now. And if you're looking at it as a rebuild or a reload, I'd say they're about 60-70% along that path to, you know, getting towards a playoff spot.
Yeah, the thing that's really interesting is that this year in particular, I think, you know, most people expected Colorado and Dallas to be good, but watching the Jets make the push that they put on Nashville, you know, I went and saw you two at the Sphere back in December. I'd be pissed off too if that trip got taken away. St. Louis, Minnesota, and you know, the Central Division is, I mean, it's a beast right now. It's a gauntlet. I mean, every team is good. And I'm looking at it and thinking like, okay, well, let these teams beat on each other. And I'm sure Chicago and Arizona are saying, all right, we'll keep on making ourselves better because these teams are going to beat the crap out of each other for the, you know, the immediate future.
Yeah. You know what? I look at the divisions and I think you can make a real argument that the Central Division is the best division in hockey. I mean, you've got Dallas entering today with 105 points. You've got Colorado at 102 and Winnipeg with 100. So here's Nashville. Nashville had that unbelievable unbeaten run, 16-0-2. They've got 92 points. They're a wild card two going into today, and they're 8 points behind the top three in the Central. So that tells you something right there. It, you know, the NHL used to be 16 of 21 teams would make it to the postseason. And now only 16 of 32 teams make it, Ted, as you know. So it's a hard league to advance to the postseason. And I think it's even that harder when you're in the Central Division with the likes of, you know, those teams that I just mentioned.
Who do you think up to this point is the best in the Central right now? Because I mean, I could make an argument for those teams, Nashville, Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas, each which would be pretty convincing at this point.
I think in the Central, if I had to pick one team, it'd be the Dallas Stars. I think top to bottom, their balance is better than maybe any team in hockey. I think it depends on if Jake Oettinger can round back into form like the Jake Oettinger of a couple of seasons ago and even last season. Mm-hmm. And he has been certainly better down the stretch. So if that happens, I think Dallas is the team to beat there. And that's not throwing shade on Colorado, Winnipeg, or Nashville. I think in the East, for the longest time, I thought it was, you know, I thought the East went through Florida. But the Panthers have been struggling a little bit as of late, and we just saw the New York Rangers, and they are an absolute beast. So if I had to pick a Stanley Cup final right now, my final would be Dallas and the New York Rangers. But I think Dallas is really going to be a tough out just based on their balance and their depth, their veterans, and if Jake Oettinger can play, you know, like he has in the past, I think they got a real shot to go all the way.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling people, that Dallas is very much, they're not a sexy pick, but they're so balanced. And the one thing I always point to is look at their home and away record. It's almost identical. That means they are just playing the same game everywhere. And that makes
sense. Yeah, and I think as a dark horse, if I can jump in real quick, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think it's a dark horse, maybe the Winnipeg Jets, because of Connor Hellebuyck. They've got, I think, a very good forward group in Winnipeg. They're kind of the quiet team right now. They've been scuffling a little bit down the stretch, but I think Winnipeg could be a dangerous team as well. Although right now they would match up against Colorado, and that could be a tough matchup for them as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think Winnipeg is the only team that's given up fewer goals in the West than LA off the top of my head. I'll have to check that to see if it's still accurate. Just, you know, getting your perspective, because, you know, I talked to announcers from all over the league. What is your take on where the Sharks are with their rebuild right now? Because, I mean, some people have come out and been very critical of Mike Greer, and I've kind of taken that as maybe some sour grapes that they didn't get, you know, hired for the job themselves. But, you know, like, it's Mike Greer took on a very unenviable situation where he had to be the guy that traded away Brent Burns and Tomas Hertl and Timo Meier and Erik Karlsson, you know, had to tear it down to the studs.
You know what, Ted, I think rebuilds are rough and they're painful. And I think they're painful for a lot of the reasons that you just mentioned, right? I mean, you gotta say goodbye to you know, cornerstone players, legends of the franchise, but you got to do it sooner or later. It happened in Arizona with Shane Doan. I know Shane was not happy when he found out that he wouldn't be coming back. That's a tough conversation sometimes that you have to have, and it's certainly tough on the players. And you know, you mentioned some of the great players, and there have been lots of them that have gone through San Jose, but they've turned the corner. And I honestly think they're about right where most teams are in this process of a rebuild, right? You don't, maybe that's a cop out, but I do think they've got some good young talent. I love the Nico Sturm player. I think he's very good. I think Fabian Zetterlund, you know, with his career highs and goals, assists, and points, he's the guy that, should be able to help him in the future. William Eklund, we're going to talk about him in our open today on our show. You know, first hat trick and 10 consecutive games with a point at SAP Center. And now I'm excited to see the Colin Graf kid, the Quinnipiac kid that transferred in from Union College. You know, a year ago, what, he was tied for the most assists with Logan Cooley and Luke Hughes in the NCAA. You've got Will Smith at Boston College. So there are good pieces. There are certainly some good pieces in San Jose, but like any rebuild, you're going to need a few more, right? You're going to need Will Smith here. You're going to need to probably shore up the back end, because you know, you can make the argument that there are a couple of players on the back end playing in today's game that are probably better suited to be in the American Hockey League right now. But that's, I think it's right on schedule, and it's going to take a while, but all rebuilds take 5-6 years minimum until you see what you got.
What do you make of this matchup today?
Well, I think, you know, from the Coyotes perspective, and I can't really offer up a San Jose perspective more than you or anybody else or Dan Ruzianowski, but I think the theme for the rest of the games for the Coyotes is Andre Turney's talked about the need to stay in the moment during the final stretch. He doesn't want to get them sidetracked about maybe things that are upcoming. They don't want to get ahead of themselves. They want to continue the process and play to the very end and play hard to the very end, which I think they will, because in so many ways, this team's a byproduct of their head coach, and they work as hard as any team that I've been around. You know, they want to generate a little more offensively. They want to tighten up defensively. They want to maybe track better, get to the middle of the ice better. These are all little things that they're going to be working on over the last half dozen games or so. So I don't know. I think sometimes when you have a matchup like this, it ends up being a pretty good matchup, right? We might see some goals today. You know, on the San Jose side, the Eklund story I think is excellent, and I think the young goaltender from Los Gatos who got the win yesterday, Cooley is just a great story as well. But I'm interested to see Fabian Zetterlund today. I'm interested to see what William Eklund can do, and I really do want to see the Colin Graf kid from Quinnipiac. I think it'll be a good matchup. I think it'll be fun. Might be a wide open game today at the Tank.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, because especially with the Sharks being on the second day of a back-to-back, you know, it's get the legs going in the first period, and that can make for things open early. And if you've seen these games, you get a couple goals in that first period, things tend to snowball, and we could be looking at a, you know, a 8-9 combined goal game or even more. So, yeah, I kind of expect to see some goals as well. But, Matt, my constant riff is I'm good at being a sports broadcaster because I'm excellent at being wrong on my prognostications.
So it's going to be 2-1, and right, then we'll talk after the game.
Sounds good, Matt. Well, I will let you go, my friend, because I know you've got stuff to do, but I appreciate your time as always, and I will come find you before tonight's game, all right?
All right, sounds good. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Ted.
Again, that is Matt McConnell, the TV play-by-play voice for the Arizona Coyotes, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And remember to join us at 2:30 this afternoon for pregame coverage. And then game time is going to be at 3 o'clock as the Sharks play host to the Coyotes. The fourth game out of a five-game homestand now. After today, they've got Calgary on Tuesday night. They travel to Seattle for one on Thursday. And then Saturday, they're home for their final home game of the year against Minnesota before they go back out on the road against the Oilers and the Flames to wrap up the 23-24 season. All right, we are out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yend.